You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Furious Artists with Francis and Liam. So you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Welcome back to Various Artists with Francis and Liam. If you want to let us know your thoughts on any of the pieces we have coming up, you can text us on 5395. At WOMAD over the weekend, I talked with Hinke Osinga, Professor of Applied Mathematics at the University of Auckland. She is an international expert in dynamical systems theory, the mathematical analysis of behaviour that changes with time. Hinke's research unexpectedly led her into craft and art when she turned her computer-generated images of chaotic behaviour into an intriguing crocheted object that embodies unpredictability in a hands-on way. Here's our kōrero now.
We are talking about chaos today. Would you like to start by telling me about chaos, our weather, and how it all ties in with mathematics?
Chaos and weather, I guess nowadays that has a lot of meaning for people in a bad way. I guess my mathematics and my chaos is more of a theoretical kind. The most classical example of how chaos as a mathematical behavior was discovered is in a very simplified model of the weather. And so we've always associated chaos with the weather just because of that. So in 1963, Edward Lorenz made this model and discovered that you can have unpredictability in how the weather would develop or how you would, you know, see certain motions suddenly change. And that was because of how the equations inherently were very sensitive. And that is what we call mathematics.
So it's not like my bedroom floor chaos?
Not really. There's a lot of order in mathematical chaos. And one of the big things that we do in chaos theory is try to figure out how that order is preserved, even though there is unpredictability and sensitivity in the system, and that's what makes it a fascinating subject.
So I came to your talk before, and we're thinking about this model of organized chaos, and the way I'm thinking of describing it to listeners is like a anti-clockwise and clockwise system that has kind of like two wings almost, and then like a steady point of equilibrium that's stationary in the middle. Would that be right?
Well, that's certainly correct in terms of the mathematical equations. Maybe let's put it this way. This motion of counterclockwise and clockwise is about hot air rising and cool air cooling as it goes up, and then because it cool air being heavier coming back down. And so that's where you get the counterclockwise and clockwise scrolls from. And that motion is, you know, always taking place. The unpredictability is really in terms of when do you make the switch? When do you suddenly start moving as a particle in this one scroll, moving over to the other scroll? And what is happening in the atmosphere is called a convection. That you're shifting from one scroll into the next. And the interesting thing that Edward Lorenz observed is that it's really unpredictable when you switch. And that's something that you wouldn't expect from the equations, you wouldn't expect from, you know, the atmosphere per se. And so that was, you know, mathematically a very intriguing thing. And since then we have found that this is actually quite typical in a lot of other applications as well.
And the reason that you've come to WOMAD is because of this quite incredible object that you've created. Can you tell listeners what the object looks like?
Yeah, that's the annoying thing about radio, right? You can't actually see it. So it's a surface. And so it's a surface made from what you could call computer-generated crochet instructions. The computer generated these crochet instructions not as crochet instructions, but as a family of solutions to this system of equations that Lorenz developed. And so in that sense, it's, you know, it's fascinating in itself that you can read those as crochet instructions. The shape is a very intricate transformation, if you want, from the bottom being quite flat to the top part having what we know in mathematics as hyperbolic geometry. And so there is a lot of negative curvature at the top, and the surface is just flat at the bottom, and that makes it a very intriguing shape that a lot of people will say, like, oh, that's beautiful.
These computer-generated instructions are an academic article?
Is that right?
Oh, yes, yeah. It's all published. Yeah, it's... The crochet instructions are published per se as well, but the actual mathematics behind it is done over several papers even. It's quite complex mathematics. It took a long time to, you know, get the proofs right and really think about it in the correct way. And then the realization that you can crochet, that came well after.
How long did it take you to crochet the piece?
Yeah, so I get this question a lot. So the actual version that you want, that's the published version, that was 2 months, over the course of 2 months. So sort of in the summer holiday, crochet as often as I could while holding down a full-time job, right? But so we estimated that it's about 80 hours of crochet time. But then the first version was trial and error. And so before the official one, I made another one that was just to figure out whether it would actually work. You know, you can interpret it as a crochet instruction, but does that mean you actually get a crocheted piece that looks the way it's supposed to look? And so that took 4 months.
How many stitches are on the outside?
So the total has close to 12,000 stitches, I think, and the outer rim is more than 2,000. So there's a lot of counting involved, yeah.
And then in this intersection of art and science, you started a conversation with a metal artist. Can you tell me about that and the sculpture that came from it?
Yeah, so we somehow were lucky to... I keep saying we all the time. So my collaborator on the mathematical side, who has also helped a lot with the mounting of the crochet piece and things. So that's Bernd Krauskopf, who's also at the University of Auckland. And so Bernd and I went to the conference Bridges of Bridging Mathematics and Art. And that's where we met the sculptor, Benjamin Storch. And we were already totally intrigued by his fantastic pieces of copper that the artist had in the exhibit hall. So he had his exhibit there, and we already noticed, like, oh, this is amazing. And he was totally amazed by how this fantastic surface structure can change from positive to negative curvature in such a fascinating way. And so he was trying to find us, and we were trying to find him at this conference. And then we got talking about trying to replicate a shape like that from metal, which was, for him, I think it really meant to show the world, if you want, that he could do something in steel, and, you know, he could make complicated shapes in steel. And I still believe that it really started for him his career as much as for us it started this whole endeavor in mathematics and art. So
and how has this tactile investigation of the mathematics informed your research as a mathematician?
Yeah, there is something fascinating about being able to touch something that makes you think a lot more about what it is you're holding. And it's not the same as seeing things on the computer screen. It's, you know, it's a bit like watching the recording instead of being at the lecture. There's you're missing something or so, and that really came home from doing the crochet, getting the shape, and then realizing what you can and cannot materialize in the real world, because we have gravity and the equations don't take that into account when you make a computer picture. There's no gravity that you need to worry about. But here, this whole shape had something more to it than you are technically able to make in crochet. So you have to stop the crochet even though the official surface is continuing on forever. And so, yeah, that was the most magical bit, that we have the beginning of what we call a pancake that is folding in shape. And this pancake is going to live on forever, and it's going to grow and grow and grow and fill the space. And yet there are always two sides to it.
What are you working on at the moment, or what's next in this art math space for you, if anything? Or have you become exhausted from all the crocheting?
So, you know, to some extent, this the Lorenz manifold, as we call it, the crocheted Lorenz manifold, is a unique piece. It's associated with this classical first example of systems with chaos. But what I'm working on now is, you know, this obvious question that a mathematician could ask, like, okay, that's in three dimensions. What about four dimensions or higher? And so my work now is focusing on higher dimensional forms of chaos, and there are very exciting objects that are, mathematicians have a very cool way of naming things, so they call this a blender. A blender is an object that looks like it has a higher dimension than it actually does. And so we have been looking at computer-generated images so far, where we look at a curve, and the curve, when you look at this, it sits in space in such a strange way that when you look at it from different side, it looks like it's a surface. And so you maybe have heard of plane-filling curves. So this is not a plane filling curve. It's a curve that sits in space, but yet when you look at it from the side, it seems to be filling the plane, because when you look at it from the side, you're projecting, and so you don't see full 3D space anymore. And so it's a very interesting blend of what we what is known as a fractal object. And so I still have to get my hands in it in a handcrafty kind of way,
yeah,
to see how to visualize that.
I was just thinking, if you like, do you have any ideas of what mediums might be able to portray?
So yes, I mean, you know, the fiber of yarn or just you know, proper cord or something, that could certainly, you know, be shaped in such a way. But you want something more than just replicating the shape, right? You want something that somehow comes about naturally, like this crocheted piece in the Lorenz equations. But I mean, in the worst case scenario, you want me to build a maquette, if you want, of this thing, then it can be done. You just have these curves, and a curve as a mathematical object has zero thickness, but a piece of yarn, of course, has thickness. So I only need to put in enough that it looks like a surface already from that perspective. But, you know, that's cheating a little bit. I want more from the art than just a replication of the mathematical object.
Well, we'll wait and watch and see what you do next.
Indeed, that was Professor Hinke Osinga from the University of Auckland talking with me about weather, maths and art at WOMED.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.